Okay, so 1 Peter, we're in chapter 4, but by way of reminder, in verse 17 of chapter 3, as we saw last time, Peter said this. He said, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And so we see here there are two ways that may cause us to suffer as a result of our choices, out of the choices we make. Number one, we can suffer for doing evil, and eventually we will suffer for doing evil, okay? Or number two, we can suffer for doing good. And perhaps we can all share a story or two of how we have suffered for evil, for doing things wrong, getting in trouble, all the rest. And many of us can probably share a few examples of personal examples of how we may have even suffered for doing good. Okay, we might be able to have a story or two. But, you know, Jesus, of course, He is the ultimate example of suffering for doing good. Notice the next verse here in verse 18. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Christ, being just, suffered for the unjust, that being all of us, all of humanity, yet it was through His suffering that we were able to come to God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, as we begin here, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." So as Christians, there are two things that we know for sure. Number one, Christ suffered for us. We know that. And number two, we will go through sufferings as well. And here, Peter, he's specifically speaking of physical persecution, but we will go through sufferings in life. All of us will, one way or the other. And they appear in many forms: physical, financial, relational. And here, Peter gives us a key to overcoming those sufferings, however they may come, whatever form they may be. He says, "Arm yourself with the same mind as Christ." That's what he says. Now, what was Christ's mindset when he suffered for us? Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 for the answer. Notice it says, "Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So although the cross, death itself, was before Jesus, there was a joy that was set before him, okay, that enabled him to endure the cross. Now, what was that joy? I believe it was two things. I believe first, it was the joy of pleasing God the Father and soon being with Him again. And number two, I believe He saw you and He saw me coming to faith in Him and receiving His love and receiving His grace and being forgiven of all of our sins and all of our shame. That's a great joy. Now, we are encouraged here to arm ourselves with the same mindset when going through sufferings, to endure these sufferings through joy. And of course, that ultimate joy is the hope of being with Jesus in heaven one day. Now, there is a joy knowing that these sufferings are not going to be in vain. As we read last chapter, we are being perfected. And these sufferings are only part of the process of our perfection. But also, as we see with Jesus as our example, the joy being heaven and being in heaven and being with our friends and being with our families. As just a moment ago, I prayed for Kevin. This is his last Sunday. Say bye, Kevin. Okay, everybody make sure you say, this is Kevin's last Sunday. He's going back to Germany. We don't know he's going to come back. But you know what? I was able to pray with Kevin just now and say, you know what, Lord, I know I will see Kevin again. You see, that's the hope that we have as Christians. We're a family, and He's calling us together once again, and this is just a little taste of what's going to be like in heaven. This is just a mini family reunion, okay? But it's going to be a big, giant one when we get there, and it's going to be awesome, okay? So it's not sayonara. It's not. It's Janne. We'll see you later, okay? And so, what a joy. What a peace we have. Now, if Jesus wouldn't have suffered for me, of course, I would not even believe in Him. Why would I follow Him? Okay, thus, I would still be living the same hopeless, meaningless, miserable life that I had before. But now, because of my faith in Christ, I have peace, I have hope, I have joy in this life. And perhaps when people see these qualities in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our sufferings, they will someday realize that we possess something that they don't have. And perhaps they would want it for themselves. Okay? So, to look past the pain in order to see the joy is the big key in having endurance. Of course, even exampled by Jesus Himself. Now, think of it this way. Who likes to go to the dentist? Some people say, yeah, I like going to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist, okay? Not me. I don't like going. But when I have a toothache, okay, when my tooth is starting to, you know, hurt and I'm starting to feel it throb, oh, guess what? I want to go to the dentist, don't I? I hate going to the dentist, but all of a sudden, I want to go. I can't wait to go. When can I get an appointment? And although I know that I may have to endure a shot, perhaps, I may have to endure some drilling. You know? Oh, ooh, it gives me the chills thinking about it. Okay? Although I know it's gonna hurt, okay? It's gonna be pain involved. It is the joy that's set before me. It's the joy of not having that toothache that I endure the shot, that I endure the drilling, don't I? Okay? And I go willingly. And I even pay for it, don't I? Okay, I'm willing to pay for that pain to go away. You see? To go away. And so there are sufferings that will actually work out for good. Some are temporarily, and some are eternally. Now, notice the end of verse 1 once again. It says, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In verse 2, Peter goes on, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Now, what are some of these sinful lusts? Okay, he continues, verse 3. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Okay. Now, some people today, they would actually read this list and say, you know what? Hey, Joseph, those things aren't so bad. A lot of people are having a great time. These things are fun. All right. Happy New Year. Let's get crazy. Okay. And some people would argue, these things aren't so bad, Joseph. Yet, when we see people throwing up on the subway or on the side of the street, do we think, oh, that's not so bad? Well, it sure smells bad to me. I'll tell you that much. Okay. We don't think that, do we? Or when we see somebody so drunk they can't even stand up. Or like one time, Amy and I were in Umeda right there, Osaka Station, and the drunk guy was just tumbling down the stairs and just laughing all the way down. And that wasn't so bad. Really? Or even worse, when someone had too much to drink at a party and was taken advantage of sexually. Oh, that's not so bad, is it? Or an innocent person is killed by a drunk driver. Oh, that's not so bad, is it? You see, sin is bad, folks. Sin is bad. And by playing with sin, you are in a real sense playing with fire. It is just a matter of time before you get burned, or something gets burned, or someone gets burned because you're playing around. You see, those who have suffered as a result of sin, either by their own sin or as a result of another person's sin, they have suffered because of it, will cease from taking part in that sin. Why? Because they've been burned. Okay? And they know the potential harmful results of it. They've learned the hard way, in other words. And only a fool would continue to play with fire after they have been burned. As Proverbs 26:11, this is a little vulgar here, but as Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Amy knew Bonnie would like that one. She told me, Bonnie's going to like that one. Anyway. Now, why a dog vomits and returns to lick it up is something that is so vulgar and is so incomprehensible to us. Okay? Why would they do such a thing? I don't know. Okay? I'm sure there's a reason, but I don't know. Yet, guess what? Man does the same thing in many ways. And why? Why? Well, the Bible gives us one explanation for it. Foolishness. 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 It's folly. Doesn't make any sense at all. Notice 1 Peter 4:4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. If we don't participate nor condone their sin, then guess what? Then we're considered strange, aren't we? We're spoken evil of, aren't we? And why? Why would they speak evil of us? Why are we considered so strange? Because we don't want to become an alcoholic? Because we don't want to get a sexually transmitted disease? Because we don't want to get pregnant outside of marriage and be a single mom? And we can go on and on. Because we don't want to gamble and get in debt, and we don't want to ruin our lives or anybody else's? That makes us evil. Wow. Think of all the evil, the hurt, pain, and suffering that is caused by sin in this world. Yet because we refuse to contribute to it, we're looked at as evil. We're evil. Does that sound logical to you? Does the Bible really sound that illogical to you? I don't think so. Only those who have been blinded by their sin cannot see the truth revealed by the Word of God. That these things are wrong. 1 Peter 4:5. they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. We're all going to have to give an account. Verse 6, for this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the spirit, in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So you see, one day we are all going to be judged. We will all have to give an account for the things that we have done in our lives. And I praise God because I know that all those stupid things that I have done in my past have been forgiven by the blood of Christ on the cross. I've been cleansed. I've been forgiven. Hallelujah. But for those who are still choosing the life of the flesh, they are going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account for how they live their lives. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What lasting value has come from our life? We have only one life, folks, and it will soon be over. What's it going to be worth when it has all come to pass? Did it have any eternal significance at all? You know, even medical doctors are limited to temporal significance, right? They can heal us for a time, but not for eternity. Okay? But we have the opportunity to make eternal significance. Okay? A British missionary to China and Africa and India a long time ago, his name was C.T. Studd, and he once said this, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I like that. This is why we preach the gospel to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. The purpose is to bring them to new life in Christ Jesus. A life free from the bondage of sin that has control over their souls. Now, the gospel of Jesus is preached to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, that they might know the wonders and the glory of being alive in the Spirit of God. That's why we preach the gospel, folks. That's why we share the love with those who are lost and are perishing. In the words of Martin Luther, he said this, for us, through Christ, hell has been torn to pieces and the devil's kingdom and power utterly destroyed, for which purpose he died, was buried, and descended so that it should no longer harm or overwhelm us. I like that. As I mentioned last week, Japan has some of the highest suicide rates in the world and has had those rates for the last 6 decades, okay? We talked about that. And I spoke about how this is confirmed here in Osaka all the time as we ride the trains and we see the delay, right? Human damage accident. We know what that means, aka someone stepped in front of a train. And I shared that just last Sunday. And then Pastor Brian tells me, hey, Joseph, guess what? Just last Sunday evening, after I had just shared that, his train was delayed. And guess why? Human damage accident. I'm not kidding. And you know this. Now the question is, do we care? Or do we just care that we're going to be late getting home? Or to work? Or to be with our boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever it is. Is that what we care about? Or do we care? Oh, yes, Joseph, you know, we care. We really do. Well, then great. What are you doing about it? Well, what can I do? What can I do? Well, you can start by praying. Are we praying? People are perishing, folks. I just want you to understand this. Every day, are we even praying? Speaking of prayer, Jesus said this in Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And in verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. It isn't about what you feel you cannot do because of opposition or because of fear or because of anything else. What can I do? It's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. But it's about what God will do through you and through me if we ask. If we ask in prayer here. Notice, have you share this. Now, let's go to the next slide real fast. Onigashimasu. Notice here. Have we shared this, okay, with people, the gospel? I've shared this before. I'm going to share it again. Because I believe that here lies a big key in witnessing to our friends, our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors, our strangers, on the train, whoever. The people around us that are perishing, okay? Have we asked? Are we even asking, okay? And here's that slide. Thank you. Are we waking up in the morning and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to be an example of God's love and grace? Are we asking? Knowing that the only Jesus, as it has been said, the only Jesus people may see is the Jesus they see in me. Okay? We're living in Japan. Less than 1% are Christians. Nobody knows anything about the Bible, folks. Okay? The only Jesus people may see is the Jesus they see in you and the Jesus they see in me. So are we asking? Now we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to be witnesses for Christ. And the word ask here, it means to beg, to implore, to beseech. We come, in a sense, as beggars because we have nothing to offer God. Knowing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. We need His help. We need His power. So are we even asking that God would fill us with His Holy Spirit and help us be effective witnesses for Him each and every day? That hearts would be softened. That lives would be touched. Next, seek. Are we seeking opportunities to be used by God? Throughout our day, on the train, in the market, at work, at home, at school, wherever. You know, I would hate to know how many opportunities that I had missed out on because I simply was caught up in my own self-centered world. Don't even want to think about it. Next, knock. When we see those doors open before us, will we have the boldness? Will we have the the strength and the boldness to knock when we see them? Or will we get all, too scared? Right? We need God's help. Those doors won't open unless we knock, you know. Now, if we want to be effective witnesses for Christ, then we need to pray. We need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do these things. That's for sure. And we need to do it by asking, by seeking and knocking and making that a lifestyle. Okay? In the Greek, These terms, ask, seek, and knock, they're in the perfect tense. Well, what does that mean, Joseph? It means, properly translated, it would give us keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. That's what Jesus is really saying here. Don't stop. It's illustrating that prayer is a continual action. Now, with all that said, I just want to close today with these encouraging words from Paul the Apostle. Notice what he said here in Galatians 6:9. He said, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So, keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep loving. We will reap. What goes around will come around. Even the good things, not just the bad things. The good things even. What goes around comes around. It will be worth it. Just do not lose heart. Don't give up, folks. Perhaps God wants to use you even today if we just start asking and seeking and knocking when we see those opportunities. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to comfort us first and foremost in our time of need, to realize that we have been forgiven of our sins and washed and cleansed of all of our shame because of the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross. The just for the unjust. That's me. That's us. But Lord, as we have been forgiven so much, you even said, "He who has been forgiven much loveth much." Oh Lord, we realize how much we've been forgiven. That's for sure. Help us love much. First and foremost, as you even mentioned in your word, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So Lord, help us do that. Help us love you, and as we receive your love, as your love and forgiveness fills our heart, we pray it would be overflowing to everyone around us. When people get near us, well, they just get wet. Because of the overflowing of your love coming from our lives. And they would see something that they don't have, that perhaps they would want. And give us the boldness, Lord, to share it. We love you, Father. We're so grateful for everything you've done for us. Help us show our appreciation. As we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Arigato gozaimasu.